May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Where is Jesus? That's a question my four-year-old Ari asked me not long ago as I was putting him to bed. It's a legitimate question. We talk about Jesus all the time at home and at church, so naturally a four-year-old might begin to wonder, where is he? The Creed says that Jesus ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. So that's what I told him. I didn't tell him that. What I said was something like, he's in heaven, but he's also in your heart if you ask him to be. To be honest, I was a little surprised at how much his simple question caught me off guard. The answer I gave in the moment felt too vague and improvised and kept nagging at me long after I kissed him goodnight. I knew the theologically correct answer. The church has very clear doctrines on this, some of which I gave last year when I preached on this same topic of the ascension. After 40 days in his resurrected body on earth, Jesus was carried up into heaven, body and all, to receive the crown of his kingship. All things in heaven and on earth have been made subject to him, and he stands before the Father as our great high priest, presenting the wounds of his sacrificed body. Furthermore, he dwells within us by virtue of his Holy Spirit, who has been poured out into our hearts, etc., etc. That was the answer I tried to give Ari in words that a four-year-old might grasp. Why then did I feel like I hadn't satisfied the question, where is Jesus? Maybe it was the befuddled look in Ari's eyes. As I've reflected on that, I've realized that Ari's question is the same one I've often asked myself in moments of confusion or distress, in moments of pain or personal failure. To tell the truth, most of my life's experience has been marked not by the real presence of Jesus, but by what has seemed the real absence. It began to dawn on me that when Ari asked, "Where is Jesus?" he wasn't so much asking for a geographic location as he was looking for a person. The person we pray to and talk about and sing about in church. The person Father Mike mentions when he places the bread in Ari's hands. "Where is Jesus?" had the same intention behind it as whenever he asks, "Where is Mommy?" In other words, is she here to be with me or is she not? Where is Mommy is a yes or no question. This is perhaps a subtle distinction, and yet it makes a world of a difference. Is Jesus with us or is he not? Yes or no? Jesus being taken up into the heavens seems like a no. It seems so to the disciples too. And yet, his parting words to them, closing out the book of Matthew, were, "Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Jesus' answer was and is yes. So, where is Jesus? Is it really possible that the mystery of the ascension is not meant to be merely a transcendent reality we acknowledge when we say the creed, but an immanent reality we experience in the here and now? The truth, I would argue, goes much deeper than this, that it's precisely because of the ascension of Jesus that we can experience his presence in the here and now. Jesus said in John 16 that it was for the disciples' good that he was going away. "For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Earlier that same night, Jesus had talked about this Helper. In John 14, he said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. We know, of course, that this passage is a reference to the Holy Spirit and Pentecost, that each of us is given that same promise of the Holy Spirit. Precisely because Jesus ascended to the heavenly places outside of time, he is able to be with each of us spiritually across every time and place and on every altar at every Eucharist. We sometimes say as a figure of speech, I am with you in spirit. This essentially means I'm thinking about you or my thoughts are with you. But this isn't what Jesus meant. He said that the Spirit would be in us and that Jesus would manifest or reveal or make himself real to us. In other words, Jesus promised to be in our interior person, that he would be one with us as he is one with the Father. From his place in the heavens, Christ reaches this place in the human heart, so that we function as his many incarnations on earth, little Christs who are joined together in him who is our head. The heart of the believer becomes the meeting place between heaven and earth. And the image Jesus himself uses is that of a ladder, Jacob's ladder to heaven. As he told Nathanael, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Angels ascending and descending on Christ, the way one would climb up or down a ladder or stair. The implication is that angels do, in fact, use this ladder to travel from the throne of God to us and back again, just as Jacob witnessed in his dream. What a vision this would be if we had eyes to see it. But another mystery, the real kicker, is that we, too, can use this interior ladder to ascend to the throne of God. There is no longer any separation, no distance between us and the Father. Jesus is the ladder. If this is true, then why is this not a present reality in the lives of most believers? Why don't we avail ourselves of our present connection to God, our present union with him? Why are we often still left wondering, where is Jesus? The answer I propose is that we have ceased to live in the present moment. We have forgotten or have perhaps never learned to be in the here and now, the present reality of our union with God. This may sound trivial, but this isn't a new answer. It's a very old answer to the question. In fact, we see it in the Gospel of Luke. I'll leave that as a trivia question. Many different versions of this answer have been given throughout the ages. Mindfulness, contemplation, meditation, withness, presence, or simply prayer. But I'm going to explain it in a way that makes sense to me and hope that it connects with something that you possibly already know or have intuited. God is outside of time. I've already mentioned how Jesus has ascended to the Father in the heavenly places. He is present to all of time, or perhaps better put, all times are present to him. But we are not outside of time. We can neither inhabit our past or our future until we get there. The only time that we can inhabit is this present moment. This means that we can only meet God in this present moment. Wow, Josh, tell me something I don't know. This seems obvious, right? We can only meet each other in the present moment. In fact, we are limited in doing anything to the present moment. And yet, how many of us inhabit the present moment? In fact, I will go so far as to suggest that our fundamental problem as fallen man or woman is our inability to truly be present. Our awareness is always pulled to either our past or our future. We are not free to be present in the here and now, not to ourselves, not to others, and not to God. Regrets, guilt, shame, wounds, resentments, compulsions, worry, hurry, restlessness, anxiety, fear. We run from the past or fixate on it. We chase pleasure, excitement, and possessions to simulate living in the now. We distract ourselves from the now with work, entertainment, religion, responsibilities, social media. We ruminate on how to secure our future until life becomes nothing more than a set of insurance policies. Truly, we have been cut off from the tree of life. The good news is that this is why Christ came, that we might have life again and have it to the full. Jesus was born, crucified, resurrected, and lifted up to heaven so that we might know God in the here and now and have peace. No longer are we bound to dwell on our past sins or fear God's wrath, because at this present moment, Jesus is displaying his wounds to the Father on our behalf. Today is the day of atonement. At this present moment, our sins are removed from us, as far as the east is from the west. At this present moment, the Father looks on us with the same love he has for his Son, Jesus. We are free to release the past into his hands and to remain in that loving embrace. And we are free, as Hebrews says, to draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. No longer are we bound to fear the future, whether next year, next week, tomorrow, or even what lies ahead of us today, because at this present moment, Jesus is Lord. At this present moment, he is at the Father's right hand in absolute power. Nothing is outside of his control. He has promised to secure our future, to raise us up, to have a place prepared for us, to wipe away every tear from our eyes. He is our shepherd who knows his own, and he will never abandon us. We are free to entrust our future to his hands and to remain in the security of that strong embrace. We are free to no longer be ruled by the tyranny of time. But we can only know such a forgiving Savior. We can only know the love of the Father. We can only be at peace with our future if we meet him in the here and now. Will we do this? Will we quiet ourselves and reject all distraction? Will we allow ourselves to receive the sacrament of the present moment? Jean-Pierre de Caussade, a French priest, coined that phrase, recognizing that it's through the present moment that heavenly grace is bestowed. But how can we receive it if we are constantly pulled away from the here and now? Being a person of presence takes much practice and intentionality. It takes trust, letting go of control. It takes stillness and humility. For many of us, myself included, our center of gravity is off. We don't naturally fall back to presence. Our default from the moment we wake up to the moment our head hits the pillow again is to be anything but present. How often do we follow Paul's advice to set our minds on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God? How often does our awareness meet God in the passing moments of our day and begin its ascent into heaven? The foot of the ladder has been planted in our hearts. We are the meeting place. The kingdom of heaven is within us. In his book, The Naked Now, Richard Rohr writes, "So much of religion involves teaching people this and that, an accumulation of facts and imperatives that is somehow supposed to add up to salvation. The great teachers know that one major change is needed, how we do the moment. Then all the this and that's will fall into line. True spirituality is not a search for perfection or control or the door to the next world. It is a search for divine union now. The great discovery is always that what we are searching for has already been given. I did not find it, it found me. It is Jacob's shout of Eureka at the foot of his ladder to heaven." Genesis 28 tells us that when Jacob woke from his dream, he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." As Jesus has promised his disciples, he has made his home in us. When we allow ourselves to simply be in the here and now, we are often surprised, like Jacob, to find that God has indeed always been with us, and we did not know it. How awesome is this place? Every moment we have the opportunity to choose presence, including this one. Simply being with him in the here and now is where our transformation begins. It is, as Jesus told Martha, the only necessary thing. So, where is Jesus? Jesus is here. He is with us, always, in this and every moment. Let us also take the moment to be with him.